Good morning. Good to see everybody here. And it's such a beautiful day. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read, I'd like to ask you to stand when you get there. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. We'll pray and be seated, and then I'll read the rest of the verses from there. So verses 1 through 3. Colossians 3 and 1 through 3, we'll read together. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. And God, today, Father, as we get into this message about how you can transform our hearts, God, that is our prayer today. Lord, search me and know me. And Father, if there's anything within me, Lord God, that's not pleasing to you, show it to me, dear God, so that I may confess of it and repent. And Father, that I may turn from those ways. And Father, that I could live a life pleasing to you. So God, start with me today. Transform my heart, Lord, and my life. And make me what you want me to be, dear God. And Father, as I preach this message, I pray, Father, that we will hear from your Holy Spirit. And God, speak through me, Lord, and don't let anything come from my own words or my own flesh. For we ask it in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to finish reading verses 4 through 17. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So is those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. There's a lot of words there, but there's a lot of truth to it. There's been a lot happen this past week, and I think a lot of people's eyes are starting to be opened up to what's going on in our country. God has not given up on America. God has not given up on the United States. God has heard the prayers of His people. I want to point this out. I'm not going to get political. I'm not talking politics. This I will say because I believe we need to hear it. Our country was on the brink of being delivered into evil hands, but God heard our prayers and God has transformed our situation that we were facing. And I believe that God is speaking to us today, His people. And I believe that God is saying, now is the time to turn it around. It's time to get serious. It's time to quit brooding in the negative. It's time to quit living a hem-haw life. And it's time that we look deep within our hearts. And it is time that we start living for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's why I prayed this morning, Father, start with me. Look into my heart, dear God. You know the things that are there. And if there's anything about my life that needs to be turned around, then Lord, I want you to show it to me. Because you know what? I cannot begin to minister or witness to anybody else until I have my life where the Lord wants it to be. I need to be transformed. This week, seeing a butterfly flying around brought me to a little illustration. You take a caterpillar. Caterpillars, to me, have always been the ugliest thing. I know they're God's creature, and I ain't putting them to, but I always thought they was the ugliest creatures when I was a kid. But I was always marveled because I would catch a caterpillar and I would put it in a good-sized container because my mom and dad would say, well, it's about time for it to build and spin a cocoon around itself. So I would put a good branch and I would put leaves and grass and made sure that that caterpillar had enough to eat. But the amazing thing, this caterpillar was so just nothing really, and it spun a cocoon around itself and it laid dormant. Well, it wasn't really dormant. It looked like it on the outside, but on the inside, a change was happening. And inside that cocoon, that caterpillar was being transformed from the inside out. And when the right time came and that cocoon started to split open and a butterfly started to emerge, I would take the butterfly outside and I would let it go because that butterfly had a purpose. That butterfly was so beautiful. And I say that to you today because of this. Our hearts in our lives as Christian people can get ugly. We can be the most hideous people sometimes. We can let the devil get a hold of us and we can be just downright ugly. But here's what I want to say to you today. I want to say to you that you need to look within your heart. You need to get yourself wrapped up in the Holy Spirit and you need to let the Holy Spirit form a cocoon around you, and you need to let the power of God get a hold of your life and start to transform you from the inside to the outside because God has a purpose for you today. What is that purpose? That purpose is to go out in love and tell people about Jesus. It's to do good to others, to speak kindly to others, to love and forgive and witness. It's to be the light to a dark and dying world because if we become this type of people, then God will move within our church. God will move within our own very lives. Every single one of us have an old nature. We had an old nature. And when we came to Jesus Christ and we received Him as Lord and Savior, the Bible says that all things have passed away, and behold, everything became new. Now, Jesus met a woman at the well, a woman who was caught in an adulterous, many adulterous affairs and relationships. And these men brought her to Jesus. They wanted her stoned because of her sinful life. Basically, their self-righteousness had gotten pretty ugly. They were willing to hand down judgment to a woman found in her sin, and they wanted her to die. They wanted her to be stoned. And Jesus took His finger and He started to draw in the sand. And I don't know what Jesus was doing, but all of a sudden, Jesus said, "Let the first one of you without sin cast the first stone." And then next thing you know, all of her accusers went away. And Jesus said, "Well, where's your accusers at?" Jesus says, "I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you." And that day, a woman's heart and life was transformed. See, she had an old nature, and Jesus gave her a second chance. Jesus gave her a brand new life. And I tell you what, I would have loved to have been there, to have seen the joy on her face. I could imagine. Now, I don't know this because the Bible doesn't say it, but just imagine for me, what if the woman ran immediately to family members or friends and started to tell them about Jesus and what He had done in her heart and life? How many of us do that on a daily basis? How many of us look back and say, "You know, the old man was put off. I've got this new creature, this new creation inside of me, and I want to live it full out for the Lord." How many of us have joyfully ran to people to tell them what Christ did in our life? So if the old man has passed away and everything has become new, then where should it be evident? It should be evident within the fruits of our life. Our life should bear the fruits of the Spirit. And every person you come into contact with should be able to tell you apart from the world. People should not have to look at a Christian person and go, "Well, are they a Christian or are they of the world? I really don't know." With the light and the love of the Lord inside of us, we should be the kind of people that we have this bright light shining, that people get near us, that they know that the love of the Lord is inside of us. They ought to know that we are changed. We shouldn't have any accusers. We ought to be careful, too, about people who do wrong. I tell you what, every single one of us as Christian people will do wrong, but we've got to be careful how we approach it. We cannot accuse and point fingers at everybody else who says something or does something wrong or is going through a hard, difficult time in their life. We should be there to lift them up in prayer. We should be willing to offer help in any way that we can. We should sometimes just be there with love and prayer and understanding. I tell you what, sometimes when we go in the love of the Lord, that's sometimes the greatest message ever preached. But Jesus told this woman, "Go and sin no more." Basically, He's telling her, "I've given you this chance and opportunity. I want you to live the experience and the life that I've given to you." Now, this is before the cross. This is before Jesus died and shed His blood. This is before the new covenant. You and I have had the opportunity and the blessing to receive Christ, and We are a part of this new covenant, the blood sacrifice. Our sins were washed away, and we were made clean before we ever got saved, because that was Jesus' whole purpose of coming for us. That was Him showing His love. And the moment we got saved, Jesus has told us, go and sin no more. Now, that doesn't mean your life is going to be completely sin-free. Because as long as we're in the flesh, there's going to be sin. But Jesus tells us to run away from sin, turn away from it. If we have the ability to turn to negativity and all these things of the flesh, and if we can live by them, then certainly we can draw from the power of the Lord, and we can draw from His Holy Spirit, and we can live a life of righteousness. We can live a life of joy. We can live a life of peace and prosperity and abundance. And I'm not talking about money, and I'm not talking about riches or things. You know what? I'd rather have Jesus than have anything else. Because if it wasn't for what was done on that cross, if it wasn't what was done for that cross, I would have no hope. I would have absolutely no hope at all. But thank God Jesus went to that cross and He gave me a brand new life. He has transformed me. And Father, every day I say, Father, help me to do better today, Lord. Help me to love more. Help me to witness more, dear God. Our bodies also get transformed. Our conversion happened up in heaven. See, when you became saved, a transformation took place inside your body. When Jesus came in to live within you, He dispelled the dark shadows. He took away the hopelessness. But even greater than that, Jesus prepared the way that when we die, or if we go up in the rapture, however it happens first, here's the thing that's going to happen. Our physical body will be transformed. If it's in death, the spirit leaves the body, and we go the spirit man. That's what gives us the life. God breathed life. God put a spirit within us. And when that spirit is gone, for the Christian, it has gone back to be with Jesus for all of eternity. But we will put off, when we get to heaven, we will put off mortality and we will put on immortality. We will be as Jesus is when we get to heaven. I don't know what heaven's like, but I'll tell you what, I can't wait to get there. But I got a work to do here first. I want my body to be transformed into the glorious body that Jesus has taken on. Jesus, in God's Word, says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I want you to think of this. When you've had to go to the cemetery, and you've had to lay your loved one's body to rest, and you know they were a Christian, here's what I want you to understand. They went to be with Jesus. The body has to be buried. It has to be returned to the earth. But that day is coming, and I just read to you, at the return of Jesus Christ, every soul that has gone on to heaven at the sound of that trumpet, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, which means every grave will open and those bodies will be coming out of the tombs and the whatever they've been buried in. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. But my body and my spirit will come together. And the Bible says, I will be changed forever. I will have a new immortal body. And for those of us, I said this, I think, last week or week before, during the rapture, when the rapture occurs, those of us who are alive, the Bible says we will be quickly changed and caught up to meet them in the air. I mean, do you know how fast that will happen? I can't even get my brain to rattle for thinking about it. I can't figure it out. All I know is this is one of the great mysteries of the Lord. It's one of His promises. And the only ones who will go to heaven are the only ones that know Jesus. But now, when our heart has been transformed, this is the good stuff here. When our heart has been transformed, we should want to please God. Our motives should be different. Our thoughts, our speech, our behavior, our attitudes, our hearts should be softened. We are capable of loving. Before Christ, we were not capable to love in the depth that Jesus could love. But when Jesus came into our heart, we were taught a brand new love. It was given to us. And Christ says that He will give to us if we ask of Him in His name. Now, God knows what we need. And I tell you what, we need a lot of love in our world. We need a lot of love in our churches. But the moment that our hearts got transformed, we should be a thankful people. We should be thanking God every day that we have religious freedom. And ain't nobody ever going to take that away from us as American people, because God is in control. We have to get our eyes fixed on Him, and we've got to keep our eyes focused on Him each and every day. We have to open our heart and say, Lord, I am a promise, I am a possibility, and I know, dear God, that You are changing me day to day. Now, when the caterpillar spun the cocoon, did he come right out immediately? No. It's a process. And sometimes we get saved and we think, wow, I should take over the entire world now. It's a process. When a baby is born, do you feed a baby a steak and a baked potato? No. Well, why? Well, number one, a baby doesn't have teeth. He can't chew the steak. His body can't swallow and digest that kind of whole food. So you got to start them off on baby food. I'm glad I don't remember the taste of that stuff, because I tell you what, I've seen the look on kids' faces. But anyway, you start a baby off on baby food in a bottle. And as the baby grows, as the process happens, as the transformation takes place, he becomes bigger and stronger, or she becomes bigger and stronger, and then is it able to adapt to different kinds of foods. And as the child gets to eat better and more wholesome foods, and the body becomes stronger and more capable, there's a growing process happening here. And that's what it is in our spiritual life. It's a growing process. We are being changed day by day. We are being renewed by the love and the power of the Lord. Now, this I want to say, our mouth should be transformed. Do you know that thing inside of your mouth, do you know that it is full of deadly poison? Do you know with that so-called thing in your mouth that people will praise God with it and then they'll tear down others with it in the same breath? And it happens every day. Our mouth should be totally transformed when our heart gets transformed. In conversation, we should watch the things we say and do, because people are listening. Have you ever said something and a child be in the room, a little child, and you think, well, what I said won't affect that child. They don't know any different. Well, you know what? Kids pick up on everything. And what they learn, they put it into practice in their life. Our conversation, and so the same with the world, the same with the lost. We should watch what comes out of our mouth. We might think that people of the world are ignorant and they won't really get what we're... But you know what? People are smarter than we give them credit for. So the conversation that should come forth out of our mouth should be good. It should be holy. It should be pleasing to God. It's so much better to really weigh what's going to come out of your mouth before you even eject it. Is what I'm about to say going to do good or is it going to do harm? Is it going to build up or is it going to tear down? Is it going to be something that produces fruit in my life or is it going to kill the fruit? Am I going to be blessed by what I say or am I going to block the blessings? Do you know that most Christian people block every blessing because of what comes out of their mouth? We ought to be speaking positive, faith-filled words daily. We we need to be speaking the truth. We need to be speaking it every day of our lives. I don't know about you. Everybody's different. Everybody lives their life for the Lord in a different way. I hope we're all following the same scriptures. I hope we're all following the same Lord, the one that created heaven and earth. But for me, every day, Father, don't let things come out of my mouth that shouldn't come out of them today. Father, help me. Put somebody in my path today, Father, that I could witness to or minister to or pray with or just give them a hug or whatever. Maybe I could make somebody a dinner. Maybe I could go to somebody's house and help them work on something. Or Lord, maybe there's things at the church that's got to be done that I could, you know, might have told yourself, well, I ain't very good at that. But you say, you know what, Lord, I want to go and help. Help me to do it. Everything about our life should be centered around God and His love and His power. And I want to say this. Don't ever start your day without the Lord. Don't ever get up and skip prayer and Bible reading. Don't ever get up and forget about the Lord because you're setting yourself up for disaster. Because when you least expect it, the devil's going to come knocking. And at the time we don't expect it, the devil's going to knock us down. But if we stay in constant fellowship with the Lord, the devil's not going to stick around. The devil will go after somebody that he can see as weak. Our possessions. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, and that's 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, verse 17. Every single one of us came into this world with nothing. When you were born, how many of you had a money belt around your waist when you was born? Did anybody have that? I didn't. When you die, what are you going to take with you out of here? The same thing you came into the world with. Nothing. Well, you know what? Let me back up a second. When you leave this world, you're going with Jesus. You've got the greatest treasure in the world. I guess I don't really understand it, but people are so busy trying to get rich. People spend their futile days trying to get the big houses, trying to get the nicest cars or the nice... There's some people go up, man, and I want to say this, there ain't nothing wrong with having stuff, but it's, are you serving the one that gave it to you? Are you serving the God that gave it to you? Because I just read that God, He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Enjoy. Not take possession of and make it a God. But I don't know how many times I see people, well, I wish I could win the lottery. And people will spend their money on them dumb scratch-off tickets. And they'll go play lottery numbers. You know why? Because they want to be rich. Well, let me tell you what. You want to be rich? You give your heart and life to the Lord, and you'll be the richest person that walks the face of the earth. Because He gives you a treasure that no man can give you. I've got a heavenly kingdom waiting for me. I don't need no big mansion. You know what? There ain't going to be no storms. I don't know if we'll even have shelter. I don't know what heaven's like. But all I know is when I get there, I'm going to get to enjoy everything that the Lord has created for me. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Is Jesus your treasure? Has He transformed your life today?